Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Real Life with Rich and Christ. It's been 2 weeks since I broadcasted, mainly just because I've been so busy doing other things that I've completely spaced out the show the last couple of weeks. I don't have a huge listenership because this show is specifically geared towards an audience of believers who are pretty much done with the dead letter performance-based different gospel. Those are Paul's words, not mine. You can find them in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4 and Galatians 1, 6 and 7. And they're looking for something more. And the reason it's titled Real Life is because that's what it's about. It's about your everyday real life. It's about my everyday real life and what we deal with as believers and how we deal with it. How do we deal with the disappointments in life? Today, it's rough for a lot of people. A lot of people are losing their livelihood, some for the first time. They're losing their homes. There's a lot of broken families, and the organized church in America has little to no effect in people's lives because either they're preaching the gospel of Jesus for me, where you can be prosperous because of your relationship with God, or they're talking about church growth or church building, or they're talking about financial planning or how to deal with your rebellious teenagers. And there's nothing wrong with any of those issues of life. But the true leaders, the truly mature leaders who are called by God, are called for one message, and that was the same message that Paul talked about all the way through the New Testament. It's Christ and Him crucified. And that's what he said, I preach Christ and Him crucified. And in another passage in Philippians, he says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved by it, it is the power of God. And that is exactly what is lacking today in the Christian community, is the power to be able to make it through these hard times. Jesus said, in the last days, you'll have difficult times. You know, you'll pray that the days will be shortened. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. Well, if that's not talking about today, I don't know what it is. And so, sometimes this is not canned or planned at all. This is spontaneous. This is the spontaneous Christ in me speaking to the spontaneous Christ in you. And he's saying what he wants to say. Because we are the vessel, the temple, and the branch of Christ. That's who we are. We are not a separate entity that walks independent of God. We don't have to call on a God who is distant. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14 talks about the God who's not up there. He's not in the distant by and by, but he's in our mouth and he's in our heart. Well, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. He never has changed, and thank God he never will change. And the reason that believers struggle today is because they bought hook, line, and sinker the lie of the punishing, distant, and separated God. And Paul says, if you're listening to that so-called gospel, he said, it's no gospel. And in fact, he says, some are perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the perversion of it is, it's not, it looks like it's the real thing, but it's not the real thing. I wrote an article this last week on Jesus and in the parables. And the fact that Jesus spoke in parables was because though seeing, they cannot see, and though seeing, they cannot perceive or understand, and though hearing, they can't understand. In other words, what Jesus spoke was the word of life. And the word of life had to be translated by the Spirit of God. It was for those who sought him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so just this morning, I was accused of being a basher, a Catholic basher. And I said, well, if that's true, well, then Jesus was a Pharisee basher. Because he exposed the Pharisees at every chance that he got, and he didn't hold back. And, you know, I woke up this morning thinking about the Pharisees, and especially after I read that comment on my Facebook page. You know, the Pharisees are painted as grandfatherly-looking old guys walking around with long flowing robes, and every one of them looked exactly the same. They had a scowl on their face, and they all looked, you know, kind of like the picture that people think God looks like. That's why I think they made the Pharisees look the same way. And, you know, the Bible says just at the right time Jesus showed up on the face of the earth. And why did he show up? He showed up because he wanted to show the body, he wanted to show his people, after listening to these Pharisees and Sadducees and other religious people that had taken the Ten Commandments and made it into 10,000 other laws, he wanted to show them that he was not what the Pharisees looked like. He was not what the Pharisees were saying. And what were the Pharisees saying? The Pharisees were saying, if you do this for God, God will do this for you. If you don't do this for God, God will punish you. And so I was accused of being a Catholic basher today. And you know what? I am a Catholic basher. I'm a Baptist basher. I'm an Assembly of God basher. I'm a Presbyterian basher. I'm every one of those bashers. I'm glad to be in the company of those who are. Because I'm out to expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness. And there's not anything darker than the performance-based dead letter mixed gospel that is being promoted today in these so-called mausoleums churches, which I call mausoleums of death, on just about every street corner in America. I'm bashing that. I'm not bashing the people of God. I love the people of God. If I didn't love the people of God, I wouldn't expose what's out there that's being called the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way to God except through Christ. And Christ went by way of the cross. So which way do you think we're going to go, folks? Do you think that the pastors in this land can continue to be walking as the many gods who are worshipped themselves, or are they supposed to be what Jesus called them, the servants of all? And I don't mean serving in their own flesh. I mean broken, bowed down, losing to gain, living that life in front of their people, letting them know that nothing matters except Christ in them, Christ crucified. Because that's not what's going on today in the church. And so if I'm a Catholic basher, well, then so be it. Jesus was a Pharisee basher. You whitewash tombs filled with dead men's bones. That's not exactly, complimentary. And that's not really the reason that I'm doing this show today. The reason I'm doing this show today is the reason I do it every day, and that is to expose the lie of the separated, distant, and punishing God, the God who is indifferent to your suffering, the God who you believe is not hearing you cry out day and night,
day and night because you want to feed your family or because you want to see your kids, because you want to see your teenager that's out there, God only knows where, doing whatever, and I know exactly what he's doing because I did it all, and you want to see him walking in the fullness of who he is in Christ. Well, how do you think that's going to happen? If you're praying for your teenager to come into the fullness of who God is, it's not going to happen by spiritual pixie dust. It's going to happen by way of the cross. Every one of my children are struggling right now. I don't want to see my children struggle. But I know there's a purpose in it. I know that God is telling me to see through their struggle and to see him standing there in the struggle so they can grow up into the men and women God called them to be, not the mamby-pamby infantile church that is today. Jesus said, if you can't handle meat, all you can handle milk. You're an infant. Infant Christianity is all about me. Have you ever seen an infant living for others? Have you ever seen an infant laying down his or her life for somebody else? No, an infant is coddled in his mother's or father's arms. He's pampered. He's held close, and he's fed, and he's cared for, and he's protected. And all he thinks about day and night is himself. Doesn't matter if you got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I have 5 kids. I did this. I had to go to work at 4. I was up at 3. Okay? Taking care of whoever, whichever one it was, because they needed whatever they needed, and that's what they care about. That's what Jesus was talking about. You should be teachers by now. That's what he said. You should be teachers by now. Don't you think after 20, 30, 40 years of preaching the same stuff? I went to a church, and the last church I attended was an Assembly of God church back in Leesburg, Florida. And the guy was preaching this message. I left the church at that time. Not his church, but the institutional church. I left it. I came back 10 years later to visit my children. One of my kids was involved in the youth group in that church, and they asked me to go to that church. He was preaching the same exact message. Exactly. Nothing different. He was fatter and a little grayer, and that was it. And you know what? There were less people in the church. Because who's going to listen to that same diatribe week after week after week, packaged in a different way maybe, but it's the same thing. It's if you struggle hard enough and you try your very best and you read your Bible like you're supposed to and you pray as hard as you can, then possibly at some point in time, God may hear you. And that's basically what the message is. And that's not who Jesus Christ is. And that's not who we are. So I wrote on my Facebook, Christ in him or Christ and him. Which one is it? We start out as infants. Joan, our ministry partner, Joan, shared this with me. It was beautiful. We start out as infants, you know, or we start out in our mother's womb. So we're in our mother, okay? We know what that life, that in life experience is all about, because that's where we start. And then as we grow up, we're with our parents, okay? And as adult Christians, we know what it is because we come back to that in life. Hebrews 6:1 talks about faith in God. You can read it. It's not good. Not that kind of faith in God, because that's the separated, wishful thinking faith that you have, that you put it in God, as though he's separate from you. And Paul said, Let us move beyond the elementary teachings. Elementary school. There it is. See, that's the key word. That's not adult Christianity. That's not mature believing. Elementary. What did you do in elementary school? You thought about yourself. You went to school, you came home, you played. Maybe you had a couple of chores, but all you thought about was yourself. That's what elementary school children are supposed to do. They're not supposed to be making adult decisions because they're not yet at that point. So Paul says, let's leave behind the elementary things and press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of dead works and faith in God. Paul moved beyond faith in God. His faith was the faith of God. His faith was the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. That's what Paul moved into. That was the only faith there was. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew what that in faith he was talking about, that carnal, human-centered faith, trying to get God to do what we want God to do. He knew that was all about preserving the outward man. He said the outward man is wasting away, but the inward man is being renewed every day. So Paul knew what he was talking about. So what is it? Are we in Christ, or are we walking in a life that is and Christ? Because here's the difference right here. Jesus said, there's a group of people listening to him one day. And he said to them, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. What was he saying? He was expounding on the fact that he was the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. So he's saying, if I'm not in you, then there is no life in you. You can call it what you want. It can look like spirituality. It can look like piety. It can look like powerful, spirit-filled stuff. It really can. But if it has the, if it's still of the flesh, if it's still about preserving the outward man, it's not the real thing. And we want the real thing. So he said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And it says, this is a hard, some of them were saying, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? No, this is not a hard saying. This is an impossible saying. This is a saying that you can only get as you yield your life to him right here and right now where you're at in the middle of whatever it is you are going through. For 34 years, I've lost homes. I've lost opportunities. I've lost jobs. I've lost family relationships with my children over long periods. Right now, we're getting our house together. We have a realtor coming today at 2 o'clock because we're losing our home. 34 years later, and the church would say, well, you're not tithing, so God must be punishing you, or you're not praying enough, or you're not reading your Bible, or you're not giving, or you're not shoulda, woulda, coulda. And there is none of that in God. There is only now in him. He doesn't care what happened 5 seconds ago. And you shouldn't be concerned what's going to happen 5 seconds from now, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're not. In him, we live and move and have our being. What does that mean? That means when I watch TV, that's Christ in me watching TV. When I'm doing something like writing something on Facebook, that's Christ in me writing. When I'm cleaning the house like I'm going to be doing here in a few minutes, that's Christ in me cleaning the house. There's no distinction or differentiation. Jesus, God, it says in the Psalms that light and darkness are the same to him. He doesn't separate. He didn't create denominations. He didn't create different sects, S-E-C-T-S, different groups. That's man's doing. Because man is all about preserving himself for himself. There's no one who does good. There's not one, the Bible says. They've all become corrupt. They've all turned to their own way. And when you're living for yourself, you can't see Christ in you. You cannot serve to God. You can't focus on your life with Jesus and you and Jesus in you at the same time. God takes you to the end of one so you can see the other. That's the way God works. Doesn't matter if we like it. Doesn't matter if it's uncomfortable. You weren't created here to suck up the atmosphere and to eat steak. You weren't created to sit here and make a living for yourself or your family. You were created to walk as the in Christ vessel, temple, branch of who you are in your everyday life. Another article I wrote this last week was, does God really care? Does God care about the plight of humanity? Does God care that people are suffering? Does God care about the wars? Does God care about the babies that are being killed and the starving in Africa? Of course he cares about all that. But he cares about one thing that's going to change all of that, and that is the revelation of his son in humanity. That's what he cares about. That's why Jesus died. If you forget about that, guys, you trample underfoot the Son of God. You count as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant. And insult the Spirit of grace. This is grown up. I loved it this last week. My friend Dawn Rubin, she put up on Facebook, This is a passage that you've got to put your big boy and big girl panties on to read. This is coming out of the crib. This is growing up past elementary school. This is going past high school. This is going past adolescence. This is coming into adulthood. 30, 40 years. How much longer before we grow up into everything God has for us? You're going to continue to hold on to your life? Hold on to your life. You lose his. Matthew 16:25. If you lose your life for his sake, you gain it. You hold on to your life, you lose his. There's your choice. I didn't write it. He wrote it. What are you going to do with it? I prayed an insane prayer. I look back on it now and nobody in their right mind would do that except for probably me. The prayer was, Lord, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ. He's done that for 34 years of loss, of suffering, of pain, of misunderstanding, of walking away from God for 7 years because he didn't do what I thought he was going to do. Seven being the number of completion. When that was done, he knew exactly what he was doing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knew I'd be back. He ordained I'd be back from the foundation of the world. Nothing surprises him. What you're going through right now is not a surprise or a shock to God. He ordained it. I don't care if you want to say he allowed it. He didn't allow it. He created it. Isaiah 45:7, read it. He created the light, he created the darkness, he created the good, and he created the evil. He created it all. Satan is a created being by God. He created him for his purposes. Read the book of Job. That's a microcosm of what Satan's purpose is on the face of the earth. And what did Satan do in Job's life? He brought Job to the end of himself. But who brought him to the end of himself? Does Satan want Job to grow up into maturity and to have everything increased in his life and to live for the next 100 years blessed and to be able to, did Satan want all that or did God want all of that? That's the lie of the separated gospel. That's the lie of the independent man. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Nothing is nothing. And God is going to take those who want it. Not the ones that are content to sit where they're at. That's okay where they're at. If that's where they're at, that's God's business. But God is going to take us, if you're in that company, if you're in that Joseph company, if you're willing to go to prison and you didn't do the crime, if you're willing to be counted among those in the Hebrews 11 hall of faith that went about in sheepskin and goatskins, thrown to the lions, if you're willing to be counted among those in Fox's Book of Martyrs who kissed the stake as they were lighting the fire, because that's our only purpose here. It's not to attain to anything of this worldly, pagan world. It's not for that. That's not why we're here, guys. It's taken me a long time to learn that because I ran after all those things. I ran after what the pagans ran after for so long that I literally wore my body out trying to please God. 4 college degrees, wanting to get that career of careers. Never used any of my degrees. Not because I didn't want to, but because God didn't open the doors. Because I asked God to take me to the end of me. And in 1983, he said, okay, Rich. And now today, on Real Life and Rich in Christ, and you're living your real life, and you're struggling, and you're hurting, and you're wondering if God hears you, and does God really care? God cares. But more than anything, he cares about the revelation of his Son in your life. That is going to be the only thing that changes everything. And it's not going to change your circumstances. It may, but what it's going to do is it's going to have an internal change where you're not going to be looking in separation and division anymore. You're going to be seeing whatever it is in front of you. And instead of looking through Christ to see that thing and walk in fear and worry over whether it's going to happen, you're going to be seeing through that thing and you're seeing Jesus Christ standing there in anything and everything. Guys, this is Rich in Christ, Real Life with Rich in Christ. Lord, I ask God that you'd open the eyes of those, God, so they can see. Unstop their ears, Lord, so they can hear, because this is the real truth. I'm giving away my book, my 31-day devotional, Rich in Christ, Rich in Christ. Go to Rich Novek, that's N-O-V-E-K, on Facebook, and ask for a copy. Give me your address. We'll send it to you free and postage paid. It's not a mini book. It's not an e-book. It's a regular soft cover book. It's 130 pages. It's a 31-day daily devotional. Deeper life. The stuff that I'm talking about today, that's what that book is about. And it's got mistakes in it, and it's got flaws, but you know what? It was written in weakness, and it's in his weakness that his power is perfected. And so anyway, I want to thank you for being here, and if all goes well, God willing, we'll be here. I'll be here next week. Please pray for us today as our realtor shows up, and I'll talk to you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.